And dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you today for a good day to be in church. And any day is a good day in church when you show up, dear Lord. I appreciate the services last week where we felt your presence during the teaching of the Sunday school class and during the preaching service, dear Lord. And I pray that you would show up again today in that same amount of spirit and presence. I pray that you'd help in the lesson, that it would go through exactly the way you want it to. I pray for all these folks that's on our prayer list. I pray for TJ as he's going back to his Marine base. I pray that you'd be with him and help him in his career and help him maintain his Christian testimony in there. And I pray for Michaela as she has her appendix taken out, and that you'd be with her. Even though it seems like a minor surgery, I pray that everything would just go exactly as you want it to and as the doctors have planned it. I pray that you'd be with Andrew, Megan's grandson, and that this tumor could be removed easily. And I pray that you'd continue to be with Faith, that you would help the doctors find something that would help her with her problems. And I pray for Ms. Wampler as she goes to Vanderbilt, and for Sandy Cox as she goes to Vanderbilt, and all these folks in our church and our church family, that you would be with them that are experiencing sickness and a lot of folks are experiencing heartache today. And I pray that you'd be with Gary's family and be with, especially with his dad, and help him through this time and all of Gary's siblings, and that you'd just be with all of the grandchildren. And they know that their grandmother and their mother and their wife is in a much better place. She's there with you today, Lord. But I pray that you'd just comfort them with that knowledge. And they've preached this and taught this all their lives, and I pray that you'd help it be real to them today. And continue to be with us today. If there's someone in our church service today that's come to church but's never come to you, dear Jesus, I pray that today they would realize they're in the best possible place they could be and they'd get saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I'll see if I can follow my schedule that I set up for myself. Since we've got a new year and Gary asked me to teach today, and I always stand in awe of teaching up here. Listened to Steve a couple of weeks ago have a good lesson that he called on the spur of the moment to teach, and then I have to follow. Gary followed him with a great lesson last week, and then it comes up to me to teach today, and a lot of folks have said, well, we enjoy hearing you teach. And I said, well, I certainly hope I don't let you down, but I always want people to enjoy what I teach, but I want you to get something from it that you can take home that does you some good. And sometimes you may not enjoy what you hear, but if you take the message to heart, well, hopefully it'll be something. The Lord gave it to me, and it helped me, and hopefully there'll be something in it that He has intended for you. Anybody in here make a New Year's resolution? Can I see a hand? Surely somebody in here made New Year's resolutions. Do you Baptists not believe in New Year's resolutions? Or are you too embarrassed? Are you afraid I'll ask you what it was? Did anybody make a New Year's resolution? If you didn't tell anybody, I know you had to, Steve.
Well, sure.
But I don't want to know what it is unless you want to tell us what it is. All right. Amen. We all do. That's a good resolution. All right, go ahead. I remember you telling me that. He prepared you for it.
And I'm not trying to impress you with me, in no means. I am trying to impress you with the Lord. Last week, I love this stuff, and I don't follow it all, but I like to read about modern physics. You talk about the book, why does E equals MC squared, and why should we care?
Yeah. I've been thinking about studying that myself.
My next lesson, you'll get it. Mm. Well, here.
Yeah.
so I said, well, there are a lot of good evidences for the Word of God. And there's evidence for, just as I told you guys, about the existence of God. So I started telling him that. He said, wait a minute. He said, how do you know? I said, well, I'm a little bit of a scientist. I read and whatever. He said, well, let me tell you. I've got my PhD in mathematics, taught at Harvard, and I'm an engineer at Eastman. So I said, good, then you'll understand this question. He said, what is it? I said, how fast do we move through space-time? Now, you know, three dimensions of time, but there's something called space-time. But it turns out we're all moving through space-time at one speed.
Yeah.
So I said, how fast is that? Read it in the book, right?
Yeah.
Well-known physical constant now. He said, well, pretty slow. I said, actually, we're moving through space-time at the speed of light. That's the reason E equals MC squared. Your energy is always proportional to the velocity squared. So we think about it in velocity, but in terms of space-time. So I said, he said, oh, I didn't know. I said, I can ask you 30 other questions you want to know the answer to as well. Now, the question I've got for you is, it's not so much I'm trying to match wits with you. The simple fact is, I want you to understand we're all ignorant. It's about different things.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
In both those cases, I was able to read something to have common ground with somebody.
So well, it's a good thing the Lord sent you instead of sending me.
So I asked him, I said, what did you work at Eastman? And he said, oh, no, I was an engineer at Eastman. I said, well, that's the second mistake you made today. Two mistakes already. And you've ruled out God.
Well,
time is perfect.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm glad Steve has an interest in folks like that. I mean, so many of us, myself included, would just dismiss the guy and say, there's no hope for you, and I'll go to the next door or something like that. So I'm glad that Steve took an interest in it. But we'll get back to what I was talking about the New Year's resolution, since this is our first Sunday in the new year. And I've had some New Year's resolutions of myself, and some of them were suggested to me that they should be New Year's resolutions.
Well,
I'm not taking a poll today. I'm just going to tell you what's already been told me. I've had enough already. But one of them was that I ought to listen more and talk less. That was, of course, I read that in the paper, and it kind of hit home to me that I have a bad habit of interfering with people when I'm carrying on a one-on-one conversation, and my wife says, oh, I wasn't going to say this. She's the one told me this, but she said, you always interrupt people and finish their sentences or try to finish their sentences, and you like to hear your own voice better than you like to hear someone else's voice. And also, it was recommended I do a little more exercise. I'm kind of a laid-back type of guy. She calls my easy chair my sleepy chair, that I sit and watch TV or supposedly watch TV and snooze a little bit in that. So I decided that I'd start walking around our block. In the subdivision I live in, we've got a huge, it's not intersected with streets, so we've got a huge block. It's probably, I don't know, it's 5 miles around it, I guess, and it's uphill both ways. Oh, it is. I mean, either way I go from my house, it's uphill. Of course, I get to come downhill on the other end of it, but I don't count that. In fact, going downhill sometimes is harder than going uphill. But I've been doing that every morning, except the morning it rained, and I didn't get a chance to do it this morning. I told her I'd do it while she's fixing lunch today when we get home, so that'll get me out of doing that. But also, she recommended that I quit exaggerating everything. She says you always add something to it, like that 5 or 6 miles around that block. We've all got things that we can improve in our lives. Another thing that she said, I don't need any late night snacks, and that I can lose weight if I quit eating the late night snacks. And I tell you what, that's the hardest thing. I can quit talking, and I can exercise more. But leaving out those late night snacks, it's just that's torture to me. If they ever put me in jail or in hospital or something, somebody's going to have to slip me something at night. But I could go on and on and on and on. Another thing she told me, I need to mind my own business. But so if any of these New Year's resolutions hits home to you all, you can adopt them too, because I probably won't do a very good job on keeping them. But one thing we will all need to resolve this year is found in Philippians 3, chapter 3, if you'll turn there. And I heard this message used when I was a teenager, and it stuck with me, by Johnny Pope. I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard of Johnny Pope the evangelist. When he was just a young man getting started, our preacher that we had at the time at Central Free Will Baptist Church, it later turned into Heritage Baptist Church, but he invited him up for a revival meeting. I don't remember what he looked like. I don't remember anything else he preached, but I remembered this, and I've remembered it most of all my life, and we'll read this in verses 13 and 14. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And that's what he preached on that day. He marched back and forth across that stage behind the pulpit, preaching on this one thing I do. And so I'm hoping that this lesson will get to all of us, that this year there'll be one thing that we do. And let's read on. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." These are great verses. And it's talking about, Paul is preaching this to these people, and he's preaching it to us today, that what happened in 2013, it's over with. It's done. And the mistakes we made, even though they may continue on now, we may reap some of the rewards from those mistakes, or the good judgments that we made, we may reap some of the rewards from those, but basically 2013 is behind us. But I think what Paul was trying to preach to us is that the sins and stuff that was in our lives, we need to forget about those, because your past sins are under the blood if you're a Christian, and they're under the blood, and they're forgiven, they're forgotten. And it's forever. And I just praise the Lord for that. I don't understand that philosophy, how that the Lord can forgive me of sins and repeated sins, the same sin that that I've asked forgiveness for, and he forgives you for it, and he puts it under. But the real thing I don't understand is how he forgets it. You know, you can do me wrong, and I say, "I forgive you, Mark, for doing that." But boy, in the back of my mind, somewhere, it's always there. I just can't forget it. And sometimes, I even remember when I've done other people wrong, and they've forgiven me, but I still don't forget it. And that's an attribute that only God has, that he can forget that. And God's ways are so much higher than every day. I wake up, and when I'm having my devotions, I realize how much higher God's ways are than my ways, and that how little I really understand about him. Even though I read in the Bible every day, and I study his word some, and I listen to people that are far better learned in the Bible and in religious things than I am, but I still realize how little we as a people know about the magnificence and the power of God to be able to speak the world into existence. And I believe that he did that. And I believe every word in this Bible is true. Now, somebody with a much better intellect than I have and a much better education, or what, I mean, Steve could probably match wits with them, but I couldn't. But I'm glad that I'm simple-minded enough to know that what's in this word is what God meant for us to have. Our sins are forgiven. The Lord will not bring them back up. Only the devil brings them back up. The Lord doesn't have to remind us of our past sins, but the devil, on just about a daily basis, reminds me of every failure I've about ever had. And so we have to, the Bible tells us that we're in constant combat with the devil. And when he does that, we need to remind him that our sins are under the blood. Praise the Lord. And that's about all we can tell him, is that they're under the blood. There's nothing he can do about it. And God instructs us through Paul's writings to press on toward God's high calling for our lives. Now, I know that there's a lot of folks thinks that that's just meaning your high calling to be a preacher or to be a Sunday school teacher or to be a witness. And all those things are high callings. But he's not called everybody to be a preacher. He's not called everybody to be a Sunday school teacher or a missionary or something like that. I honestly believe this, and of course some folks would probably disagree with me, but I believe that if you're a businessman, that's God's calling for you. I really believe that. I believe if you're a truck driver and you enjoy doing that, that that's God's calling for you. I believe if you're a glass installer, that's God's calling for you. Or if you're a mechanic at the Eastman, that's God's calling for you. And God calls it a high calling. If you're a teacher, or if you're a real estate developer, or if you're a surgeon or a nurse or whatever, and you enjoy doing that, and you've trained to do that, that's God's calling for you. And it's a high calling. He expects you to do your best at it. He expects you to be on the job and not to let him down in his calling for your life. Now, if he's called you to be a preacher or a missionary, we all look at them and say, boy, if they mess up, they say, boy, they're missing God's calling because they messed up. But do we look at a businessman when we mess up and say, well, he's messed up God's calling in his life, when we really have? And we need to be attention, and most of us in here are just ordinary folks as far as the religious world is concerned, and we put a high plateau for the preachers and the missionaries and all them, and we think that it was blessed to be called of God to do that. But it's also blessed to be called of God to do whatever you're doing. And you need to count it as that. If there's certain things that God's not called us to, and that's one thing I wanted to dwell on a little bit today. He's not called us to have a jealous spirit or to worry. And I used to pride myself in never worrying. I'd hear these people say, oh, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. And I'd just say, boy, I'm glad that I'm not like that. And I guess I was letting that pride come out in my life, because it wasn't long before the Lord allowed something to come in my life that I started worrying about. And then I would get condemned over the worry, and then I was condemned because sometimes I didn't worry about things that should have been worried about, I guess. But he's not created us to worry. He's created us to press toward that mark of his high calling in your life, whatever that would be. One thing that I've noticed, that God has certainly not called us to be a gossip. And this Facebook thing and social media is becoming, and of course I get on Facebook every now and then. You've never seen a comment, I don't think, for me on Facebook. But I like to look at all my family's pictures. All my kids are on Facebook. So if I want to get some pictures that I never get to see, I see them on Facebook. But there's so many things. If you start reading the comments on Facebook, and I hope nobody from our church would ever do this. I have a friend that's hooked on Facebook, just like you'd be hooked on drugs or hooked on a TV soap opera, Downton Abbey or something like that. And some of you all may be hooked on that. My wife's getting into that now. But these comments that people, good people, make on Facebook sometimes, the whole world sees it. And we need to be careful what we say on the social media, because it can bring, it may look good on you, but it may look bad on somebody else. And I don't think that's part of God's high calling for us. The Lord has called us to pray about everything. He's called us to lead, to read and study His Word. There's part of our high calling is to pray about everything. Part of our high calling is to read His Word every day and try to get something from it, because that's His message to us. That's His Facebook to us. That's His. He sent this out to us a long time ago before Facebook was ever heard of. He's called us to witness to others. And that's a failure that I've had in my life so many times. Yesterday, I was standing at the grocery line, and the guy in front of me is a young guy, wasn't dressed real, real well, but he was buying a lot of groceries, and everything was appropriate. I could tell that he had a small family by what he was buying. And I was standing behind him in line, and when he gave her his card, I guess it was a credit card or something, didn't have enough limit on it for all his groceries. He had to put back a box of Twinkies. It's the only thing he had to put back. And the Lord was telling me, just pay for his Twinkies. Pay for them. And then you get a chance to witness to him. And I just stood there, because the store was packed and people were behind me and everybody's in a rush to get out of there. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I started to tell a young cashier, a teenager cashier at Kroger's, and I started telling him, I said, just let me have that box of Twinkies and see if I can go chase that guy down in the parking lot, because he's probably buying those for a treat for his kids or a treat for himself, and just couldn't afford them. And it just really bothered me that I didn't do that. We need to be a witness in all kinds of occasions. And I hope that if I get the opportunity, I'll make up for that. And when you get in, and if people are doing the right thing in a grocery store and buying the right kind of groceries, and they have to put something back, step up to the plate and take care of it. And pay for it yourself, or tell them, and don't make a scene out of it. I was afraid I was going to embarrass him or embarrass myself. I guess I was more worried about that than I was about embarrassing him. But a box of Twinkies, $2 or whatever they were, it wasn't going to make me or break me. But it meant a lot to him, I'm sure. That is done not only verbally, our witnessing, but also through the way we live, the way we talk, the way we love, the way we forgive, and our actions. That's our witness. You may not say, well, I'm not good at knocking on doors and inviting people to church, but the way you live in your neighborhood, the way you live on your job, the way you live on God's high calling for you reflects exactly what your witness is. So we have to be really careful about that. God has called us to obey His commandments in the Bible. Faithfulness to church. So you've all been faithful today. We need to be faithful to church. To me, church attendance is something that improves my life. It's just like going to the gym and working out to exercise your muscles. I've come to God's gym today, and I hope that we're all getting a little bit of a spiritual workout, and we need that. There's not a one of us that is so spiritual and so close to God that you can't get a little better. If you're called to be a truck driver, be the best truck driver you can be. If you're called to be a salesman, be the best salesman you can be. If you're called to be a plant worker, be the best plant worker you can be. If you're called to be a farmer, be the best farmer you can be, and call that God's high calling in your life. Now, 2014 has a lot to offer to us, and God wrote about that too. Over in Leviticus, if you'll turn over there in chapter 26, and I know this was to the children of Israel, but I believe when God wrote it, or had Moses write it, or whoever he had to write it, I believe he intended it for us to. God had the capability of looking down through time and seeing us gathered together here today, and knew that we were starting a new year in our lives. And if we did forget about the past, and if we did try to live godly and try to go to His high calling, He told the Israelites, after they'd come out of Egypt's bondage, in verse 3 it says, if you walk in my statutes, he and keep my commandments and do them. That's pretty easy right there. Then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Verse 5 says, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time. In other words, it's going to last when you harvest your crops. They're going to last till the next season. And that was very important to those folks. I mean, they didn't have the Walmart to run down there to. They had to make their provisions last from season to season. He says, I'll make that happen for you. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Oh, and isn't that a good thing to tell somebody that you're going to dwell safely? I can think about all these people. The paper was full today of troubles around the world. People living in Syria and all the Middle Eastern countries, they can't lay down at night and rest, afraid somebody's going to blow them up or what is going to happen. And we dwell in safety pretty much here. We can lay down and rest fairly well because the Lord has been so good to us here in America. He says, I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, that's old supply, the things that you've laid up, you'll be able to eat those, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I'll walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. And I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. When we got saved, the Lord broke the bands of the devil's yoke on our lives. And in 2014, we should live like that. We should work on God's high calling for your life. And of course, I brought it out about being a better businessman, which I want to be. And I felt like that was my God's high calling for my life from a little boy. I always wanted to do what I'm doing. And so I've been very, very blessed to be able to do what I'm doing. And have lived a good life, but I've lived way beyond my raising. And I hope that my children, my grandchildren can live beyond their raising. But one thing that I need to do, and all of us need to do, is remember that part of God's high calling is that he's calling you to himself. And that's his high calling for your life. He wants you to be a successful whatever you are, but he also wants you to be successful in your relationship with him, that you put him first, and your calling to be a farmer or to be a businessman or be a teacher or whatever, it comes in after that. But it's still part of his high calling. His high calling is for us to live right and do right and be the kind of Christians that we ought to be and that we know that we should be. And so that's pretty much the lesson I've got for you for 2014. And I hope that this year will be a magnificent year for you in your life, in your business life, in your personal life, but mainly in your spiritual life. I hope we can all be better Christians. And I put myself at the top of that list. My goal for 2014 is to be a better man than I was in 2013. I'm going to forget about the things that are behind. I'm going to press on for God's high calling in my life, and I hope that you'll do the same thing. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for this lesson. I hope that the folks here got from it what you wanted them to have, and I know that I've gotten from it what you wanted me to have. And I pray that we could all be better Christians this year. I pray that we could be more ardent witnesses for you and take the opportunities that you present to us to do our witnessing and bringing others to Christ. I pray for these new converts that's in our church. I pray that you would help them. This be the best year of their lives. and that they realize what you have done for them in saving their souls and change their life history, Lord, and their family's history. A lot of them have come from families that have never known you. And I pray that this will be the best year in their lives. I pray for our church this year that you will help it continue to grow and bring forth souls for your kingdom, and that you'll bless our pastor and help him today and the first Sunday of the year to have the messages you've laid on his heart. Help the choir to sing and the special music and everything that's done today. Help it be a furtherance to your kingdom. And thank you again for being able to come to church today. There's a lot of folks that are members here that couldn't come today because of sickness or different reasons. So I pray that you'd be with them. And thank you again for the opportunity to be in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.
Larry, you can buy me some Twinkies and I'll make up.
I'd make up for it. Well, thank you, Rick.
I've had the same thing happen like in a grocery store before, so I'm going to have that in my mind. I'm going to be watching for that.
Well, you know, I just really felt for the guy. If he'd been by beer or something like that, I wouldn't even considered it.
But you only have a nanosecond to make that decision,
yes.
Go or no go. Sometimes, too, you're sitting there. By the time you juggle it, it's
done over with.
You've got to be able to react.
Well, and the baggers was there trying to bag up. He had two or three buggies of groceries.
No, I know. And I've had the same thing. Well, I'm going to be more cognizant of it now.
Well, I hope that I will be, too.
That's what I'm going to take away from
this. Well, good.
I'm sure there'll be more.
Well, thank you.
One of the most powerful things about forgetting, Ivor, and you probably heard the lady missionary tell the story. You want this way?
Yeah, I'll go this way.
You probably heard what she said. But she was telling.
Oh, yes. Do you remember me killing that guy?
He said, I don't want God to remember that anymore.
Yeah.
That's the way he came to Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a
That hit home to me.